Welcome to Time for a Difference Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Miss Carmen Buck. Carmen, would you take it from here?
Yes, thank you, Tanya. So I'm going to be talking today about healing from behind the camera. And I'm very happy to share my story, and I hope it'll serve as an inspiration for others. I'm a great example of dreaming outside the box, not just stepping outside the box, but just dreaming outside the box. And I love that the topic of this month's summit is a time for difference, because not only was it a time for difference for me personally, I believe it's a time of difference for our world. And so I'm going to talk about how a nurse practitioner becomes a photographer and a writer, and how I'm making a difference. So I hear this question a lot. You're a nurse practitioner, but now you do photography. How in the world did that happen? And why did that happen? And so those are really great questions. And you know what I say is it all started with a very little voice. I've been a nurse for 37 years and a nurse practitioner for 16 of those. And I love caring for people in my clinical world, and my specialty is in family practice, but I mostly care for the elderly and specifically those with dementia. And I really enjoyed getting to know them and their families. And I spent many years in school and made a good living and enjoyed my coworkers. And, you know, yeah, there was this tickle of a voice that told me it wasn't enough. And as the years passed and it got louder and louder, and you know, I didn't feel like I was running away from anything, although I certainly was looking for a change, but I was definitely running toward something, and that I was running toward a big something that made a big difference. So the last several years, you know, I saw patients and families who really grappled for help. There's no cure for dementia, and Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. It's a terrible, debilitating disease, and there just wasn't a lot I could offer medicinally. We have a certain number of prescriptions I could write, and they were questionably effective, but what else could I do? You know, but the most important things I had to offer were my presence with undivided attention, authenticity, and I mean keeping it real, and my time, my undivided time, and my healing presence, since I was there for them. You know, and at first it might all seem a little soft or kind of fluffy, but when you think about what you really need from a healthcare provider when there isn't medicine or treatment options of real great value, you know, you want someone who really cares about you and what you're going through. And I heard stories that left me with awe of the strength of the human spirit and the power of love. And then one day, you know, that little voice that I kept hearing became a scream. You know, just about a little over a year ago, a couple made an appointment with me to talk about hospice. And I knew them fairly well, and she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, but early stage, which, you know, of course, Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia. And they sat in the office and hugged and cried, and she asked for my help to set up interviews with hospice providers. And she was in no way ready for hospice at the time, but she wanted to help her husband choose while she was still able. She worried about how he would manage when she was no longer able to take care of herself or to even recognize him. You know, when I think about the definition of love, this couple comes to mind for me. And this visit was an incredibly moving experience for me. And, you know, I truly experienced an epiphany with this visit. That little voice of the sacred source became a scream for me, you know, tell these stories. And, you know, I just kept hearing that I needed to be able to share what they were telling me, and not just the stories, but the feelings behind that, and that side of the dementia, the love and devotion and the kind of things that we don't always hear about it. It was a whole drive home. I envisioned telling these stories and how I would do that and writing a book with the family's experiences and including images highlighting the beauty, because there is beauty that lives within the pain of dementia and the pain of life, period. There's beauty there. And I imagine spirituality, love, and devotion to be expressed through these stories and images. And that was truly the genesis of my book, Love Still Lives Here, which is due out next winter. And my career in photography, you know, I couldn't imagine not including photos along with the stories. And I can only vision that I was the one taking the pictures. And, you know, I have to kind of laugh because that sounds a little naive, because I was so sure of it, just, you know, like every step along the path, you know, and while I had been a photography nut since I, you know, bought my first camera, I have never taken a photography class. You know, even so, I strolled right into this new chapter of my life and profession. See how it starts to make perfect sense. You know, nurses bring our own unique talents and ways of healing to our practice, even though the work may seem kind of uniform on the surface. And I've always loved to write and create, and I've been enthralled by people's stories. And I had the honor to hear stories throughout my day and my work life. So this transition really made perfect sense to me. But probably not to those around me. So a photographer, nurse, yeah, it's the perfect match. Photography also. You know, the very qualities that made me a great nurse make me a wonderful photographer and writer. My years of experience absolutely prepared me to do what I do. Great nurses not only see with their eyes, but they listen with their hearts, speak with love, and they follow their intuition. And you may not be aware of this, but these are some of the very reasons nurses become nurses rather than other healthcare providers. And it might seem, again, you know, kind of mushy or soft in our busy, sterile clinical world, but it's totally possible. And dare I say, it's essential to true healing. You know, and great photographers have the very same qualities of presence. You know, anyone can learn, true, anyone can learn the technical skills to use the camera. It takes time and effort, lots of practice and interest, of course. You know, but the artist photographer has a way of being in order to sense those sacred moments between the moments and capture a photograph that gives us goosebumps. And when I take a picture and get those goosebumps, I tell my subject, that's our goosebump moment. We just had a brush with the divine, and we truly do. We witness magic. And so the technical parts of photography, you know, are really important and can be learned, and, you know, we all work on those. But the decades of nursing prepared me to seek that joy and love and connection and even a spiritual healing energy that I get with my camera. And this is the case when I photograph people or animals or nature. You know, photography is a healing practice for me. And with that, you know, a photography session can be very healing. We live in a very fast-paced world where it's easy to be judged, especially from a distance and virtually. You know, most of us are out there on the internet with websites and all of that. And, you know, we also have a very active negative critic in our head, or many of us do. And we will often forget just how wonderful we are and what wonderful things we do. And, you know, it's no secret that many of us feel very vulnerable and afraid in front of a camera. It's as if the photographer looking through the lens can see what we may not be willing to otherwise share. And, you know, again, that negative critic and judgment comes up. And this is part of why selfies are so popular. You know, we can show what we want to show, and we're looking through our own lens, and people see what we direct them to see. And so there's nobody aiming a camera at us when we take a selfie except ourselves. So it's a real turnover of control to allow someone else to photograph us. And that intentional presence, focus, respect, empathy, and kindness, and even humor are just so essential qualities of a photographer. So you've got to be able to put your subject at ease, and it needs to be real, because there's no faking that. And without real, authentic connection between the photographer and the subject, the real essence of the subject is usually lost. Pictures, but they won't be something special. So, you know, and a little side note about photos for our business, people buy us as much as our products that we have, you know, or the services that we deliver. And so those images that we have out there are really important. Most of us know, again, that authentic when we see it. And so be sure your photographer takes the time to get to know you, what you're about, and about your business. We go into business with a passion, and that passion really needs to be expressed in our images. So I'm going to let you in on a little something about portrait sessions. Now, I have yet to do a portrait session that the subject hasn't looked at their images and has a comment that along the lines of, I haven't felt beautiful in so long, or they cry tears of joy, or are moved in a way that they just won't forget. It is an incredible experience. And other than for business, you know, we may not know about, we may not even think about needing a portrait session, especially in a time of selfies and everyone has a camera on their phone and such. But, oh, it's so important to have, because time goes very fast and you won't be any younger than you are right now. You know, I look back at photos and I think about myself in my 30s or 40s and remember that I thought, oh, I need to lose some weight, or I'm too this or too that. And gosh, I wish I had more pictures from them because now I know what I missed out on. And, you know, I make sure and have my own done periodically. You know, one of the things, as I said, my nursing world the last decade or so is in care of the elderly. And having, I think, regular portraits is especially important for our elderly. And I've coined the name Elder Remembrance Photography. And it has become a mission of mine to raise the awareness of the importance to have images of our elderly family members. And I go to memory care facilities and photograph people being themselves, and I love, love, love capturing the twinkle in their eyes or smiles that we so seldom see. And families are just so grateful. And, you know, I blog about this topic, and, you know, I'm starting to sense maybe a second book coming along here. That, and meanwhile, I'm getting busier with elder photography, and we'll be photographing quite a few events for the Alzheimer's Texas Association in the next couple months, September and October. You know, and I should probably tell you, with all this going on, I just left my full-time clinical work about 5 or 6 months ago. So it's been quite a whirlwind, and I've learned a lot. So, you know, how do I make this calling a business something that makes a difference? So I've just had a few things here that I've learned along the way. And the first one is to stop and listen to the voice. That means you need to be quiet, really quiet. My morning routine was a little yoga and quiet time before I got ready for work. My work was wonderful, but make no mistake, it was stressful. And I really, really needed this time, even though it was 5 o'clock in the morning. I did that. So first, I didn't ignore that little tickle of a voice. I was alert and open. And, you know, believe me, if someone had told me a year ago that I would be finishing a book, scheduling photo shoots, and creating a one-woman storm for elder remembrance photography, I probably wouldn't believe them. Is this a big jump? And yet that's exactly what happened. You know, and it all started with stopping and listening. Have faith in that voice. Be open, you know, because, you know, even in my story, you can tell that what the universe had to offer me is just so much more than I could even imagine. A third one, you know, one of my favorite quotes is by Mother Teresa, spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. And that goes along, you know, Tanya's for the PSA is to be kind, to be nice. And, you know, I think that's a great thought for businesses. we all get busy and distracted and sometimes forget the real reason we went into business. You know, get yourself out there. I met some wonderful people who helped me grow, and I've learned much of my experience from others, and it's a brand new world out there. Find your passion. It's not like there's a map to find our passion. You have to find what makes you tick, what makes you smile. And some entrepreneurs know exactly what they want to do. You know, I did not. I knew in my soul that there was something spectacular waiting for me. I knew I would write a book. I took workshops and such to prepare, but I really wasn't quite sure what I would write about or how it would look. I knew it would be clear one day, and you know, so it did. And my master's thesis was about spirituality and health, and you know, I certainly see how that has come full circle. I think the sixth thing is to give back. Even though I'm busy, I volunteer my photography time to a few nonprofit groups. One is for Bliss Kid Yoga, which provide education and yoga for underserved kids. And you might be scratching your head going, what? I thought she said she liked elderly photography. You know, the truth of it is that I get so much from being around kids and families, and they remind me to be a kid and to let go and laugh and have fun and to venture out. So I love spending time with them, and I've fine-tuned my ability to take pictures without them knowing, which is when I get the best shots. And, you know, it's really been great. It's been living great. And I also do volunteer for Alzheimer's Texas, and I've learned from each time I get out there and do stuff. I believe that everyone who crosses our path has something to teach us, and there are all kinds of lessons. So, you know, I'm grateful to each person who has crossed my path. The eighth thing, and I love this, you know, I think we need to learn to live beautifully with uncertainty. And this is really good because this is what entrepreneurship is really like. We've all heard about the importance of setting clear and certain goals. And, you know, I have goals, of course, but the real treasures have been along the path to that goal. And photography was a discovered treasure along the way. Toward my goal of writing a book. My epiphany was not only to write a book, but to include photos of character, even though I'd never taken a photography class. You know, I just knew I could do it, and although I wasn't quite sure how, I just knew it would happen. I think living beautifully with uncertainty, you know, implies faith that those hidden treasures are part of that divine plan for our lives, and, you know, once we surrender and trust into it, really great things can happen. And, you know, I think the last thing I want to say is it surprised me that I've become an inspiration for other nurses and women who are wondering what to do next. Kind of like, well, gosh, if she could do something like that, what could I do? And so they're watching, and, you know, I've become more active with my blogs and such. And so about that, I blog twice a week on my website, and I talk about my experiences as a new business person and also about my experiences out there in life in general and my photo sessions and what I learned from them. And some are really quite humorous, such as my take on networking, something many of us can probably relate to. I have a bi-monthly newsletter, and that highlights the photo sessions, speaking engagements, various insights, and it's a great way, too, of being the first to know when my book comes out and what's expected with that and when to anticipate. I offer a pre-image that I offer each month to people who are signed up for my newsletter, so please think about that. It's a fun thing, too. I make it fun, and I don't send out any junk, so you won't be bugged by that, but each month I post an image on my website that's downloadable that you won't find anywhere else. It's an image I took and that I don't post elsewhere that you can download and use a screensaver and stuff like that. My website is Carmen, C-A-R-M-E-N, Buck, B-U-C-K, photography.com. And I just launched my second website, which is combined, which is CarmenBuck.com. I am in the Austin, Texas area and schedule photo sessions for portraits, families, and personal branding headshots. You know, every photo session is unique. I photograph all ages except newborns, and I really enjoy families, as you know, and including the elderly. And, you know, my website, Carmen Buck Photography, has all kinds of samples on it. And, you know, you'll even see some pictures of Tanya on there. And that was a lot of fun, Tanya. I'm available to speak on topics about the healing power of photography, about my own experiences as a nurse photographer, spirituality, which you could probably tell is one of my favorite subjects, and dementia, and a number of other topics. I'm on most of the social media hangouts, Facebook and Instagram, and certainly if you're interested in any of my topics, you know, follow me on the social media stuff. You probably won't be surprised to hear I'm really fairly interactive with those who follow me, and I've got stuff going out all the time, and I love interacting with people. I spend a lot of time at my desk writing, and it gets kind of lonely, so I'm kind of happy to connect with people on the social media stuff. And, of course, I'm also on the Public Speakers Association website. So this is how a nurse practitioner becomes a photographer and a writer. You know, all those years of experience led me to exactly where I need to be. Now, I hope my story has been healing for you as well. And I think now I'm open to, I think there's some time for questions or comments.